Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Indeed, Lord, that's where we stand today. How great is our God. How great you are. How mighty you are. How magnificent you are. Yes, Lord. God, you blow our minds all the time. Thank you, Lord God. You do things way over and above that we could even ask or think. Yes, Lord God. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was just thinking about the greatness of our God. And you know, God is just so far ahead of us. Sometimes we're praying and worrying about stuff, and God done took care of it. He done long took care of it. He done moved on to other issues. And we're still worried about stuff, you know. And his word is so true. Why are we worried about, you know, how we going to be taken care of, and if we're going to have enough food to eat, and are we going to have a place to stay, and all of that kind of stuff. And all that. Look at the birds. The birds ain't worried about what they going to eat. The fields got grass, you know, grass and flowers. They ain't worried about how they going to be dressed. What are we worried about? We're far more valuable to God than the field and the sparrows. Thank you, Lord. So come on, just tell him, Lord, you're great. You're just awesome, Lord. You are great. You're an awesome God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. God's already taken care of it. He's already done it. It's already settled. It really is already settled as far as God is concerned. Thank you, Lord God. So we can just give him thanks today. Aren't you glad to be able to do that? Just to say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you. Sometimes we have to say it with tears streaming down our faces because we're disappointed about how things turn out in life. Sometimes we have to say thank you, Lord, when we're disappointed. Sometimes we're saying thank you, Lord, when we're confused. Sometimes we're saying thank you, Lord, when we're feeling abandoned. But I've learned that no matter whatever state I'm in, there to be content because God's got it. Come on, just somebody say that to the Lord. Lord, you got this. Lord, you got this. You know, that's a big phrase here in America right now. People say, I got this. I got this. Can't you see God, our awesome Father, saying that to you right now, saying, I got this. Sometimes we can go and get all our bills, and we're going through the bills, and God, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. I don't know how I'm going to take care of this. And God's like, I got this. Stuff going on at work, stuff going on with different family members, things happening. God's like, I got this. Come on, can you hear him today? Can you hear our Father saying, I got this. I got this. Thank you, Lord. I got this. Thank you, Lord. He just calls upon us to trust him. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. In our flesh, we don't like going through the day-to-day aspect of waiting. Lord, if you got this, then how come I got to go through waiting for it to come to pass? Because we're living in time and space. So we got to deal with the seconds and the minutes and the hours before we see the manifestation of what God's already done, what God has already done. Thank you, Lord God. Faith is seeing what God has already done, what he's already done. We're not hoping and wishing from the earthly standpoint. God has done it, so we hold on to his promise. What's the promise that God has made you? What is the promise? See, when God gives a promise from his standpoint, he has already done it. He's not saying I'm going to. And from God's point of view, because God is in eternity. He's not living in seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years. God's outside of all of that. So when he says something is done, it is done. It's already done. We just have to wait for the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, or the months, or the years to see it come to be. But don't you know God's already in tomorrow? Isn't that an awesome thought? God's already in tomorrow, waiting for us to catch up. God's already in Monday morning, waiting for us to catch up. God's already into next Sunday. God's already in next Sunday service, waiting for us to catch up. So when he speaks, God's speaking from the eternal. I don't know who needs to hear this today. Thank you, Lord God. But God's already there. You know, the example the Lord used to give me was when you, if we was to take a trip to New York and I was to drive east and I got to Allentown and I called back on my cell phone and told you, because you're following me. You may be a couple of hours behind me. And I told you, well, when you get close to Allentown, there's going to be some construction going on and you're going to have to take a detour. I'm there telling you what you are going to encounter when you get there. Now, that's just a small example of where God, how God is. God's already in tomorrow and next week and next year telling us. So when he gives us a promise and says, I got this, I've already taken care of that, he's already there telling us. So he's just telling us this now from where we are today, because we're stuck in time. He's telling us to praise me now, thank me now, because the only reason why I spoke it is because I'm already there telling you it's done. So can you bless him this morning? Come on, do that right now. I thank you, Lord God. I trust you, Lord God. I believe you, Lord. I believe you. I believe you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Don't you know that the day that we're living in now, God already foresaw that? Back when you were a teenager, God already saw this day. My Lord, don't you think God's got it all under control? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So that's why even when the Lord gives us warnings, his warnings come because he's already ahead of us, telling us where, if we're moving in a certain direction or we're making certain decisions, he's already at the end of that decision telling us what's going to happen. So that's why he'll send a warning and say, don't go that way. Don't move in that direction, because I can see the end of that. So that's why we trust him. That's why we trust him, because he can see what we can't see. He can be where we can't be. So I trust you, Lord, when you give me these words, whether it's a word of confirmation, whether it's a word of encouragement, even if it's a word of discipline, of correction, and warning, I trust you. Thank you, Lord God. Even when God, his answer to us may be no. I don't know who needs to hear this today. Sometimes we can ask God for things and his answer is no. But you know, it takes as much faith to believe God when he says no as he does when he says yes. Because when God says no, it's just like we are with our own children. Remember when you told your children no? Daddy, can I have something? Mommy, can I have something? What if your 12-year-old came to you and said, can I drive the car? Well, what would your answer be? No. Why? Because you know what's best. And so they may throw a tantrum and get mad and be all disappointed and all that kind of stuff. And you ain't fair. And everybody else gets to drive. And how come I can't drive? They can do all of that. But you know what's best. So it's the same thing with God, with us. When he says no, we have to believe. Our children in that situation are faced with, they've got to trust that my parent is making a decision for what's best for me. So right now in this room, everybody say, Lord, I trust. I trust you. Whether your answers are yes or no, even if you're telling me to wait, because that's all it is. If your child told you at 12, I want to drive, you'd be like, no, wait. I ain't saying you ain't going to never drive. I just said not now. Many times our answers from the Lord are not now. Just not now. Not now doesn't mean never. It means just that. Just not right now. Because God prepares us. I done started preaching. God prepares us for the blessing that he has for us. God prepares us for the promise. He'll give you a promise, but he's now got to get you ready to have the capacity. He gets us ready to have the capacity to handle what he's going to give us. Because when God gives us blessings, a great responsibility that comes with it. That's why some people have messed up their lives getting stuff. They couldn't handle it. They got stuff based upon their talents and their gifts. Somebody may have opened doors for them and gave them an opportunity to hit the stage quick, get to Hollywood quick, get to Broadway quick, get a record deal quick. But because they didn't have the capacity to handle this fame and this recognition and this money, they destroyed their lives. The entertainment industry alone is just endless list of young people who died in their 20s and 30s because they couldn't handle it. So God, because he's our Father, he gets us ready for what he's going to give to us. So come on and say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. How great is our God? That's what we're meaning when we tell him he's great. How great is our God? You see the end. You see the end of a thing. You see where I am. And so you get my heart ready for it. You get my life ready for it. You get my relationships ready for it. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was offered an opportunity yesterday. I won't tell you all about it, but I turned it down because I said my family's not ready for that. Not just me. My family's not ready for that yet. I remember years back, my brother was given an opportunity to go on TBN, and he said no. He said, my family, my church, we're not ready for that. So every opportunity and every door that comes to you, don't just take it because, oh, this is great. No, weigh it. Weigh it. God, is this what you want? Is this what you want from me right now? That's what it's about. So don't live your life disappointed because of what seems like opportunities that pass by and chances that didn't come your way. Trust the wisdom of God. Trust his wisdom. Bless you, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you for this moment in time that you've given us. You just kind of just stopped us here in this moment to acknowledge that you really are great. You're an awesome God. You've got it all under control. Thank you, Lord. Somebody that's watching us right now, you've been so disappointed with how life has gone. People have betrayed and taken advantage of you. But I'm speaking to you right now in this moment. God has just kind of stopped this moment for us just to minister this word to you today. That don't you live another day with regrets of how you were treated on the last job you were in or the last church that you were in or how with your family and all of that. Betrayal has just almost like manipulated and gotten a hold of your heart. And you're making your decisions based upon if whether people are going to receive you or not. You're making your decisions about different churches that you go to or different job opportunities that come to you, if whether people are going to receive you and accept you and all of that. God doesn't want you under that manipulation or to be controlled by fear. And so we break the spirit of fear off of your life. You're not being controlled by fear. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. So I speak soundness of mind to you today. Soundness of mind come to you today. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. For too long you have lived your life ruled by fear. But the Lord calls you into his perfect love today. His word says perfect love drives out, casts out all fear. Thank you, Lord God. So don't let fear dominate your life. Right there where you are, you may be at home, maybe at work, watching online, no matter where you are, if you can. Come on, just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. Guide my steps, Lord. Order my steps, Lord. Order my steps. Order my steps. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Refuse to live another day controlled by fear. Thank you, Lord. Don't fear the face of men. Thank you, Lord. Don't fear the face of people. Don't fear the opinions of people. We break off of you the stigma. Here's the word that I hear. I hear a stigma that has been put upon you. We break the stigma off of you. Sometimes you can be known by the mistakes that you made in life. And so people will attach that to your name and to your life. And so if you've been through a divorce, people just look at you and say, he's divorced, she's divorced. They don't even know your name. They just go, yeah, that's that guy, he's divorced. That's that lady, yeah, she's divorced. Or if you've been married 2 times or 3 times, you become known by, well, they married twice. They've been married 3 times. Or if you had a baby before you got married, yeah, that's how you get known. You're known by the person that had a baby before they got married. And God breaks the stigma off of your life right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And you stop living under that. Stop seeing yourself that way. That's not how God sees you. Bless the Lord today.
That was the perfect love that Pastor Chris was talking about. When God loves you, he loves you. It's perfect doesn't mean, again, what we think, see it as. When God says perfect love, talks about perfect love, he's talking about a mature love. He sees past our mistakes, our faults, and loves us out of them and loves us past them. That's how, and you need to see yourself that way. Love and even receive his love and love yourself that way. That you're no longer living that way, that you no longer think that way. Do not stay in the fear. God is calling you out of the fear. You are more than that. You're bigger than that. God has made wants you to be and calls us to be conquerors. This world talks about being survivors, but God calls us to be conquerors.
Yes. Yes,
you're
yes.
a conqueror. You're not a fearful person. You are a conqueror.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Come on, receive that for yourself right now in this moment. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. I want to continue with that thought, Carol. And that's so true. I remember when that show first started, Survivor, and then Beyonce came out with a song, I'm a Survivor. And many people, even in the church, began to adopt that as their anthem for life, that I'm a survivor. And many preachers across the country began to preach that message, that I'm a survivor. But that's not what the Bible says. We're not just survivors. We are conquerors. Yay, more than conquerors. Thank you, Lord God. So get out of just surviving and pulling and scrambling and trying to find the right set of people that you can connect with that's going to help you and all. No, you're a conqueror. Thank you, Lord God. Come on, say it, Lord. I receive what you say about me. That's what it really means to confess. Confess means to say what God says. So, Lord, I confess that I am a conqueror.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I'm not just merely surviving. Bless the Lord God. It can feel like you're just surviving sometimes because when I look at my paycheck and I balance the books, they don't balance. In fact, I'm a negative 2,345. See, so I feel like I got to scramble and fight to survive. And you talk to young people to get today, and they all just saying, just trying to make them papers, man. Just trying to make them papers, trying to survive. And so we take that on in the church, in the house of God. And he doesn't call us survivors. Why? Because our daddy's already in tomorrow. He's already in next week. He's already in next month. He's already in next year. And because I've got an inside on the market, there are people who are making millions of dollars because of something called insider trading. They know things about what's going to happen the next day so they can make financial decisions that causes them to prosper. But because our daddy's already in tomorrow and next week and next month and next year, we got insider trader tips. And our insider trader tip is always the same. Trust me. Trust me. Just follow me. Just follow me. Sometimes God will tell you to do some simple little crazy things. They don't make no sense at all. Now I got to testify. My Lord. Back when we first moved here to Harrisburg, the Lord had put on our hearts. We had met a particular pastor, and the Lord put on our hearts to go to a prayer meeting. We found out he was having a prayer service at his church. And the Lord just put on our heart to go to his Friday night prayer. And I didn't feel like going. Said, Pastor Chris, didn't want to feel like going to pray. No, I didn't feel like going. But the Lord kept impressing upon us to go. It didn't make any sense. What did going to this man's prayer have to do with what we were here in Harrisburg to do? We was trying to get the church started. And what was going to his little Friday night prayer meeting going to do for us? We had moved here in July, and this prayer meeting was like in December 2004. We were still 3 months away from our church even starting. So what did going to this man's prayer service have to do with anything? God said, go. So we went, and we sat through the prayer service, and it was kind of disorganized and confused, and different people praying different things with nobody really praying together. Just this person's praying about their personal needs. God, do something with our city. God, do something. So everybody's praying all over. Not one central theme where we're all praying together, because that's what I was used to. Well, one person leads the prayer, and we all pray in agreement with them. And even if they've got a list of things, we're all praying in agreement as we go through the prayer list. But everybody's praying random all over. What are we here for? What are we here for? Oh, my God. I feel like the teenagers. Oh, my God, what are we here for? But God said, come to this prayer meeting. So finally, at the end of the prayer, the pastor got up and prayed, and it was awesome when he prayed. Just everything came together, the unity we had been looking for. Yes. And we're like, why didn't he just do that from the start? And then he asked someone else to come up and pray to close out the prayer. And this woman stood up and she prayed. And it was one of those moments where the power of God, I got to say it old Pentecostal style, the power of God just fell. It was wonderful. And so we were like, we got to go meet her. We just want to go and meet this woman just to let her know how much she blessed us in this prayer. And so we talked to her and told her about us being here in Harrisburg and God has sent us here and how we met her pastor. And that's why we're here at this prayer service, because God told us to, you know, come to you guys' prayer service, and you really blessed us tonight. And so she told us a little bit about herself and that she had a nonprofit organization and all that kind of stuff. And so we exchanged cards. We gave her our church card. She gave us her nonprofit organization card. Go home, end of the night. Cool, fine. We go on, start the church 3 months later, and started in March of 2005. 6 months after that, it's September, and my bishop comes to town, and we are officially installed as the pastors of the church. And then 3 months after that, everybody's gone. We ain't got no church no more. People done left. Some things that were supposed to happen did not happen. Another church in the community, the people were supposed to be coming to join with us. Nobody came. We had put out our money and effort and investment and everything to get this building, because these people were supposed to come and we was all supposed to be together and this was going to happen, and none of it happened. So then everybody's gone. We're responsible for this building. We're using our own personal money to make the rent of our house and the building. We quickly go through our savings. We've got nothing left. And then we lose the building and out of a job, I didn't have a job. I was full time with the ministry. Now it's all gone. Savings gone. Can't make, God blessed us that God put it on someone's heart to pay off the rest of the lease of the building so we could at least let the building go. And now we're just us, four people, five at the most. And we need jobs now. And that's the real deal. Now we need jobs. We have no money left. We done emptied our savings. And then I get a phone call. And it's the same woman that we had met the year before at that prayer service. She said, you remember me? Yes, I remember you. And she said, do you know anybody that needs a job?
We laughed.
That's what I mean when I say God's already in tomorrow. Before our church even got started, God already knew that all of that was going to happen. So he calls us to meet the person that he was going to use to rescue us a year before it happened. Not only did she have jobs, she had a job that she was able to get my wife into. Eventually, my wife started off temporarily for the state and then got hired full time. And she told me she had a position open for me that required me to go to the governor's office and all that kind of stuff to be interviewed, and I got in. And we're both on those jobs today. Because God, he's in tomorrow. He's already in tomorrow. When God says, I got this, when you hear Pastor Chris and Pastor Carol say stuff like that, we mean it. God's got this. So that even when things fall apart, and it did for us, God already has somebody for us so that when things fell apart, we would be caught. That's why the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he won't be cast down, which means he won't be destroyed. Because why? The Lord upholds him, his word says, with his hands. God put the woman in our path who was going to uphold us when we hit our stumble. Because he wasn't going to let us be destroyed. I'm talking to you today. I'm talking to somebody today. God's not going to let you be destroyed. And so how does he do it? There are certain things that was my point when I first started. There's certain little things he's telling you to do now that doesn't seem to make any sense with what you're going through right now. But do it. Do it, because it's setting you up for next week and next month and next year. Just do it. Just obey him. Just trust him. Thank you, Lord. I believe this is our message for today. I don't think we're going to go any further than this. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, give it to him. Just make the commitment. Lord, I trust you. I'm going to do the little things that you're telling me to do. Sometimes we can feel like God's not speaking to me because we're expecting him to say something big. Thank you, Lord. There was a particular king in the Bible who was struck with leprosy. And he heard one of his servants told him, there's a prophet that we can go to and get healed. And so when he went to that prophet, the prophet didn't even come out and speak to the king. He just sent word to him and said, go tell them to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. So the king was all insulted, because I'm a king. He could have at least showed me the respect to come out here and tell me himself. And besides that, he told me to go dip in all dirty, muddy Jordan. There's other rivers that are here that are much cleaner than that. So you insulted me by not coming out here and telling me yourself, and then you choose the dirtiest river in round here for me to go and dip in. See? So his servant had to say to him, King, now if he had told you something really major and big to do, you would have done that. If he told you something difficult, you would have done that. See, because in the king's mind, he said he was expecting the prophet to come out, he even said it, and wave his hand over the leprosy. See, we keep waiting for something spectacular. God's going to send a prophet to Harrisburg, and he's going to come, and I'm going to go to the service, and he's going to call me out of the thousands of people, and he's going to call me forward, and he's going to lay hands on me, and I'm going to fall under the power of God, and I'm going to heal, and I'm fine, and everything's great. And God will just tell us something simple to do. God will just give you something simple, because we got these big things in our mind of how God's going to do it. So the king did what the servant told him. Just go on and dip in the Jordan River. If he'd given you something difficult to do, you would have been all out there trying to do that. But what's so hard about just, this was about obedience. It was about humility and obedience. So the king went and did it. And after he dipped down there the 7th time, came up, Bible says his skin was like baby skin. Healed. So what am I saying to us today? Do the little thing that God's already put in your heart and told you to do. It's something small. I know it is. Because it was something small that he told us. Just go to the prayer meet. Just go to the prayer meet. What is the little thing that God then told you to do? I guess that's the message for today. What's the little thing that God then told you to do? Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Because he's in tomorrow. Bless you, Lord. He knows what it's going to lead to. All of you that are looking for jobs and looking to go back to school and looking for career advancement and looking for God to break, even those of you that need physical healing, I'm talking in this room as well as you online. I really sense something for somebody online today. I don't know who it is, but you're up against the wall and something's got to happen. But there's a little thing God's told you to do. In fact, it may have just been simply just to tune into this webcast. What the webcast preacher going to tell me? Why? You just do what God's telling you to do. Just do it. It's something small. God may have just simply told you, just start reading your word before you go to bed at night, or read the first thing in the morning. It's always something little. It's always something really small. Just do it. What that got to do with what I'm going through? Sometimes we go, Lord, I need some money. And God will be like, read the word. He'll be like, just something simple. Just read one proverb a day. But what that got to do with I'm just do what I'm telling you to do. Little things. He may say, call up so-and-so and apologize. You know that fight that y'all had that 20 years ago? Call them up and apologize. Call up auntie. Call up brother, sister. Just say, I'm sorry. He'll do that. He's just, but what that got to do with me making progress with my life? Everything, because God's in tomorrow. He'll tell you to apologize to the person who God knows a year from now you're going to need them. But you need to open up the door now. But they was the one who was wrong. Just say, I'm sorry. It's always something small, but it always comes down to that. Humble yourself and obey. We're here to tell you that your miracle is connected to this one little step of obedience. Sometimes I know it's very popular in America to go to conferences and go to special events and wait for a special word to come to you to answer your question, to answer the need. But we're telling you today, it's in the little things that God speaks to you every day. Just obey that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you today. We didn't know that it was going to be this way today. I came here today prepared to keep talking about the fountain gate. But the Lord, today, Lord, you wanted a demonstration of the fountain gate and not just a teaching. So we receive the rivers of living water. We drink of these waters today. We drink of these rivers of living water as this fountain gate is restored in our hearts and in our homes. Let the river flow. Everything that stopped up the river, Lord, we thank you that it is now driven out. The fear that stopped it up, the unforgiveness that stopped it up. Yes, Lord God. The disobedience, the lack of faith that stopped it up. Pride that stopped it up. Yes, Lord God. We humble ourselves. We restore the fountain gate so that the rivers of living water can spring forth and flow forth in our hearts, in our lives, in our families. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My God. All of us in this room, would you just take a moment as in these final moments that we have together today, just worship him. Just worship him. I worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you. Those of you watching online today, God has just taken us in a completely different way than what we expected. But would you worship him at home, just sitting there at your computer, just worship him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just reaffirm it again. Say, Lord, I trust you with my life. I trust you with the future. You're already in tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. There's an old song we used to sing. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And now life is worth the living just because he lives. Thank you, Lord. I don't know all of what the future holds, but I know the one who holds the future. And that's our assurance day to day. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Well, bless the Lord today. Go in the peace of the Lord. Go in the strength of the Lord today. Thank you, Lord.